Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Can't think of Detroit without thinking of course, the river, which was not only instrumental to our growth as an industrial center, but was the very reason that the city was founded way back in 1701. For decades, though, of course, untreated waste from that industry, from urban development, storm runoff, and other factors really degraded the river's quality. According to the EPA, these pollution sources have contributed to the high levels of bacteria, all kinds of other contaminants that cause our river to be classified as an area of concern back in 1987. This year, the Biden administration announced it would designate $1 billion specifically for Great Lakes region sites, which should include the Detroit River. But since that time, the EPA has indicated it's more likely to continue its approach of requiring a non-federal partner to pay approximately 35% for this type of cleanup. Meanwhile, Michigan's Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, EGLE, has budgeted $69 million for toxic site remediation, but no specific funding for the Detroit River cleanup, which leaves the river in a little bit of a lurch, a balance, I guess, caught between some bureaucratic issues. The ideal party to pay the cost of the cleanup is the responsible party, of course. Industry and the other pollutants should be part of the solution to cleaning up the Detroit River. But a lot of those parties don't exist any longer, and of course, it's always really hard to get corporate citizens to own up to and then to help pay for the damage caused by their activities. That's where we want to continue the conversation here on Detroit Today. We want to talk about the Detroit River, talk about its cleanup, its potential cleanup, and where the money might come from to continue it. To help us unpack all of those questions and more, we're joined by Nick Schreck. He is the Associate Dean of Experiential Education and an Associate Professor at the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law. Nick, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah. All right. Let's first talk about why the river is so dirty. I think a lot of people don't realize that it is still beset by a lot of things that happened in the past. But tell us how we got to this point where it needs such a cleanup.
Right. So prior to the 1970s, when we saw an adoption of things like the Clean Water Act that reduce pollution into our waters, like the Detroit River, from factories and other point sources or pipes that were discharging pollution, a lot of just pollution accumulated over many, many years of industrial activity. I mean, as you mentioned in the opening, the Detroit River was really a key engine for industrial growth, not just in Michigan, but, you know, for the whole country. And a lot of that heavy industry was discharging pollution in an unregulated way into the river. And over time, that pollution accumulated in what we call sediments, which is basically, if you think of soil on the bottom of the river, included in that soil are these contaminants, things like PCBs and mercury and other, you know, toxic chemicals. And so there's a law called the Great Lakes Legacy Act, which is intended to clean up these contaminated sediments all around the Great Lakes in these areas of concern. And I think it's helpful to think of an area of concern sort of like a Superfund site, like we've talked about before, these, you know, really contaminated areas on land. Well, areas of concern are those contaminated areas in the water. And so really, it was just, again, you know, decades upon decades of unregulated pollution of really harmful chemicals that have now settled down in the sediment or the soil at the bottom of the river. And so to deal with that, you have to remove it, right? It's not going to go away. Some of these chemicals are very persistent. They'll stay in the environment for a really long time, and they lead to things like fish consumption advisories, harm to fish and wildlife, potential harm to drinking water, all of that. So anyways, it's a long history leading up to where we are currently, and now we have to figure out how to pay to dredge, you know, dig up that contaminated sediment, make sure that it's treated and disposed of properly, and that's expensive.
Hmm. At the same time, the river's cleaner now than it was in the distant past. Is that not right? I've always had the understanding that we had made some progress in cleaning it up.
Oh, absolutely. So the Detroit River is much healthier now, really than it's been at any time since the industrial era, because of these regulations that we have, and also a lot of projects aimed at rehabilitating the river. Many listeners will be familiar, of course, with the Detroit Riverwalk, right? And all that work to get rid of contamination along the shoreline and to limit pollution from getting into the river. There's been a lot of work over the years. And yes, we are seeing improved water quality, but there are still things that we call beneficial use impairments. And that means that there are problems still with the river. And so including here in the Detroit River, we have concerns about fish and wildlife consumption, eating fish that we pull out of the river, beach closings, just sometimes the aesthetics. You'll see discoloration of the water, especially after a big rain event when we have some of that stormwater runoff. So there's still issues. I mean, you're absolutely right. We're now regulating, controlling, and we've greatly reduced the amount of new pollution into the river. But an ongoing concern is this problem, these legacy contaminants, things that are there from companies that no longer exist. Some of this pollution was a part of the war effort in World War II with the Arsenal of Democracy. A lot of that's leftover pollution that, again, if we don't go in there and clean it up over time, it will be consumed by fish or consumed by plant life and make its way up through the flood and continue to be harmful for us.
Yeah. So Biden's infrastructure bill was potentially going to be used to clean up the Detroit River. That was one of the things, at least, that that we talked about. Nick, tell us what happened.
So there's a lot of money in this bipartisan infrastructure bill. $1 billion set aside to help clean up this type of contamination across the country. And so there's a question of, how much of that money can we use towards the Detroit River cleanup? It's estimated that we're looking at about $100 million that still needs to be invested in cleaning up this sediment. But the issue is, even though there's some federal money available, there needs to be a local match. So there needs to be a 35% local match, meaning that either a municipality or the state of Michigan has to contribute that money. So, you're talking $30, $40 million that will need to be, that will have to come from a local match. And so that's been a stumbling block, not being able to come up with that money. So, one question is whether the Detroit River, this can be something that's added to, the real top of priority for Michigan and our Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy Department to, help provide that local match, or if it can come from some other source within the state. But that is a key stumbling point. You can't just use all federal money without any strings attached. There has to be that local match. And so that's been, an impediment. And again, these are very expensive projects. We're talking, $100 million, right? That's a lot of money. And so to come up with that local match is a challenge.
Yeah. I want to add another voice to the conversation here. Gary Wilson is a journalist and contributor to Planet Detroit. He's Chicago-based, but has been reporting on Great Lakes issues for public media since 2011. He has a recent piece in Planet Detroit about Detroit River's cleanup being a pretty low priority in the billion-dollar Great Lakes windfall that came from the recent legislation. Gary, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So I want to quickly get your take on what's going on here. This was supposed to be one of the things that we were going to look forward to. And we're now in at best, probably a period of some stasis, I guess, while we wait to figure it out. But talk about how we fell into this kind of strange betwixt and between space here.
Yeah, sure. The EPA, by the way, estimates that, assuming everything goes right and there's funding available, which are the big ifs, that the sediment, the contaminated sediment, could be removed from the Detroit River by 2030. And I would add ish onto that, because there are a number of variables, things that could go wrong during the process. And some knowledgeable observers, I really think that 2030 date is optimistic, but the funding issue actually goes back to 2010, under President Obama, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative became law, and that really provided the missing link to cleaning up the Detroit River and these other areas of concern sites that Nick mentioned. And over the years since 2010, the Great Lakes region writ large has been allocated approaching $3.8 billion for all kinds of work, not just sediment removal, but all kinds of habitat restoration, a myriad of potential projects. They're in the thousands. But the thing that jumps off the page for me as I've been covering this over time is that since 2010 and after $3.8 billion, very little of that money has been allocated to the sediment removal in the Detroit River. And that jumped off the page to me. And I asked people, knowledgeable people, I asked people in the EPA, what gives here? Is the Detroit River a low priority? Why is it a low priority? Oh, no, it's not a low priority, I'm told. But it's the Detroit River is very complicated. And the reason why I've been covering it so intensely is there always seems to be an excuse why the Detroit River's issues can't make it to the top of their priority list.
Gary, talk about what else, I guess, is a priority. I mean, what is it that is in line ahead of our river here?
Well, there are, as Nick probably mentioned, a number of other sites. So you've got all these 20-some locations now, 20, high 20s, competing for funding. So that's an issue. But the cleanup of the sediment is complicated. It takes time. And for the public, if you look at, the Detroit River now, and if you looked at it after all this sediment had been removed, it would probably look the same. So there's been a lot of emphasis on projects like habitat restoration, good projects, worthy projects. But they're also highly visible and they're easier to gain success. And to keep funding flowing for Great Lakes restoration, you have to be able to demonstrate to Congress, who holds the purse strings, that you can be successful. So that's part of the issue. And these projects just take the contaminated sediment removal. They take a long time. Muskegon Lake was just finally cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And that was a 20-year project. So the contamination is out of sight, out of mind. And it's easy to forget and hard to demonstrate results.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the Detroit River, its current state, and the massive cleanup that is still needed to repair damage done by decades of industrial waste and other things. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well. Do you think the Detroit River should be a higher priority in the Great Lakes cleanup efforts? Who should be paying for that cleanup? Should it be the state, federal government, or someone who was responsible for making the river dirty in the first place? Also, give us a sense of how you use and enjoy the Detroit River. Are you somebody who's down there a lot along the Riverwalk, which is now this wonderful space along the Detroit River? Belle Isle always has been a wonderful spot in the middle of the river. Let us know what role the river plays in your life. The role that it has played for so long in this community is really central to our identity. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. We'll work you into the conversation. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 101.9 WDET.
Detroit's NPR station.
This This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Right now, we're talking about the Detroit River and the fact that it is not going to be much of a priority in the $1 billion that's being spent by the federal government cleaning up the Great Lakes. There are some kind of quirky reasons that the river is not as much of a priority as it should be, but of course, it leaves us wondering how we will get it cleaned up, whether we will get it cleaned up, whether we can change the focus. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Give us a call. Let us know about your sense of the Detroit River, how clean it is, how much cleaner it is maybe than it was that you might remember it being once upon a time. Also, how you use the river. Is it a place of relaxation or enjoyment or entertainment for you? Tell us about your spots along the river, the places that you go back to over and over again. We got two great guests with us talking about this subject. Nick Schreck is Associate Dean of Experiential Education and Associate Professor at the Detroit Mercy School of Law. He is an environmental expert who joins us quite frequently here on the show. Also with us is Gary Wilson, a journalist and contributor for Planet Detroit. He's based in Chicago and has been reporting on the Great Lakes and its issues since 2011. As always, again, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. Let's start with Fred in Farmington Hills. Fred, what's on your mind?
Well, it occurred to me that half of the river is in another country, Canada. And are they helping us in any way with this cleanup?
That's a great question, Fred. And, of course, we do share the river with another, not just another city, Windsor, but another nation. And there are things that they've done, of course, industrial-wise, that helped make the river what it is right now in terms of the needs it has. Nick Schreck, what is that relationship like in terms of splitting the responsibility for cleanup among the two nations?
Yeah, great question. So going back to 1908, we have a treaty with Canada called the Boundary Waters Treaty. And then that treaty basically, both countries agree to not pollute the waters of the other country. And from that treaty, eventually something resolved called the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement. And that water quality agreement listed these contaminated areas called areas of concern all around the Great Lakes, including those that straddled international boundaries. And so yes, the Detroit River, you know, it includes Windsor, it includes portions of Canadian waters. And Environment Canada, you know, has been working on doing the same kinds of restoration and sediment removal projects that we're talking about. You know, it's not one of the things that's unique about us on the Detroit side is that in addition to the Detroit River, we also have, you know, Lake St. Clair area mm-hmm. of concern, which feeds into the river. We have the Clinton River area of concern, which feeds into the river. And then, of course, we have the Rouge River, right? So all of those, you know, feeding in are on the side, right? So we definitely have a lot of responsibility. But I just say, yeah, by international agreement and treaty, we are working collaboratively on cleaning these up. And so definitely Canada's a partner here, and they're a big part of the response. But again, we have, because of just the unique nature of the industrial activity and the type of land use we have here in Michigan, we've got a lot of pollution that we're feeding into the Detroit River from our own, you know, domestic shore.
Yeah. Is it possible that Canada could take a lead, I suppose, in trying to clean up the river? Again, it's theirs as much as it is ours.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if Gary might have some thoughts on this too, but, you know, like with the Gordie Howe International Bridge, Canada agreed to front the money.
That's right.
Because we had kind of a stalemate on the U.S. side. And so, you know, maybe there can be some creative thinking there. But certainly with the federal dollars coming on the U.S. side, those can be spent, you know, with our territory. And again, it's a bit of a unique situation being that we have this boundary water, this border between the U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those federal dollars do need to be spent by U.S. entities on U.S. projects. And certainly I think, you know, Canada can take a more aggressive role. But, you know, we're a bigger community, larger community on this side of the river, and we have contributed, you know, far more to that pollution than our friends across the border.
Yeah. Gary Wilson, of course, this is not the only place that we share a part of the Great Lakes with Canada. In fact, all of them border Canada in some way, I guess, like Michigan does not. But talk about that relationship between the two countries and how that plays out in the decisions about this kind of cleanup.
I think, Stephen, writ large, the U.S. and Canada, historically, when it comes to Great Lakes issues, have been on the same page, as Nick pointed out, just by the population and the number of cities on the U.S. side of the waterways. We bear a greater responsibility, both for the cleanup and financially. But there's a long, strong relationship between the two countries. On these water issues. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't throw in the issue of the Line 5 oil pipeline that traverses the Straits of Mackinac. That's seen as a threat. And this is an area where the two countries diverge, at least the state of Michigan and Canada diverge. Michigan, led by Governor Whitmer and Attorney General Nussel, are adamant about shutting Line 5 down. And Canada is diametrically opposed to that. And they've taken their case to the Biden administration directly, who so far has stayed neutral. So there's a bit of a wedge there right now. But overall, over decades, the two countries have worked collaboratively, as Nick previously pointed out.
Yeah. Mark Wallace, who is the CEO of the Detroit River Conservancy, tweets that he says, "We would love to see more sediment abatement in the Detroit River. The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and the Great Lakes Legacy Act have been key funding sources for the Riverwalk connection across the Uniroyal site and at Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Centennial Park, nearing $20 million, which has been matched by the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy." That's interesting information as well. I want to talk about what's possible, I guess, to break this logjam. Just in the last couple of minutes that we have left, what are we supposed to be doing or thinking might be done here, Nick, that would shake this loose and push us in a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think this sort of gets to be a political question at this point, right? There's some money available. We want to make sure that, you know, we're getting a good fair share of those resources here to clean up the Detroit River. So, you know, talking to our elected members of Congress, right, letting them know that this is a priority, talking to our senators, letting them know that this is a priority, that we want this federal funding coming here. And then, you know, talking to Governor Whitmer, right, talking to the Whitmer administration about, you know, if there are state funds available that we can make this match happen and get this work going, that's what needs to be done. I mean, there's money there. It just needs to be allocated. And there's priorities all around the Great Lakes. We get that. But this is, you know, a really major area of contamination that needs to be cleaned up. And I'll just, you know, finally say that, you know, Gary made the point about how the river looks and how it might not look that different after the sediment's removed. But remember, that contaminated sediment is what leads to, in large part, our fish consumption advisories, right? And we have a lot of people that supplement the food on their family's table by fishing along the Detroit River. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, until we clean up those sediments, those health is at risk, right, from people eating that fish and eating it in large quantities. So, it's something that needs to be addressed. And so hopefully, again, through a little bit of, you know, outreach to our elected officials, we can make the Detroit River sediment cleanup a priority.
Yeah. Gary, what in your mind is the lever to pull here to get this going?
I think the key right now, Stephen, is to get the state of Michigan involved. At the conference in May, the Detroit River Conference that I covered in May in Dearborn, there was a agreement there by key officials key advocates and observers of the river that it's time for the state of Michigan to step in. The state has been reluctant to supply any funding for Detroit River cleanup. Provides a lot of other services, but the sentiment is now it's time for the state to step up, especially since the state is fairly flush in money. It's very difficult to get these responsible parties involved if they exist. If they do, it could lead to protracted lawsuits, and therefore the the sort of the court of last resort here is to get the state to invest. And I know there's some people working behind the scenes to see that happen.
Yeah. Okay. Nick Schreck and Gary Wilson, great to have you both here to talk about our precious river and what should be happening to it and what may not happen soon. Thanks so much for joining us here on Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to take a look at police recruiting and staffing both throughout the country and statewide, including why there is a shortage and potential solutions for law enforcement and the communities they serve. We talk a lot about policing and its future here on Detroit Today. Interesting subject coming up tomorrow. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.